And away we go. Welcome to episode 79 of the Family Time Q&A podcast. I'm your host, Jerry, from TheRealJerryDugan.com, and this is episode 79. 79.
And you didn't introduce me.
I was just ready to do that because I said, and then you cut me off. And I have with me my better half, my common sense.
You forgot my name.
I did not forget your name. I never forget your name.
You're stalling to remember my name.
All right, let's see. Olivia.
Do I need to write it down for you?
No, you just need to wear the name badge. That's why I give you a name badge. Hello, my name is...
Olivia.
Olivia. I don't think that's how you spell it, though, is it?
Olivia.
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 Oh, I love that little kid who used to call you that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Libya.
Like the country, but spelled different.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So if you're new to our show, this is a show about family living with actual family members talking with each other. Did I say family living? I'm getting so close to 40, I forget what I
say. You said family members, I think.
I thought I said, yeah, a show about family living with actual family members talking with each other. There we go. And our hopes is that we have a candid, real conversation with each other. Some of them are fun, some of them are light, and sometimes we get deep on some topics. I don't know if this is going to be one of those episodes. Cause
it could be.
Could be. Yeah, we'll see what kind of questions we throw at each other. We actually have some neat things coming up also in upcoming episodes. I'm going to interview somebody named Dr. Jeff Temple from University of Texas Medical Branch in the next episode, episode 80. And so he's going to kick off February, which is the month where Valentine's Day happens. It's also nationally the Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So he's going to talk about teen dating violence education in schools, why we need to have it, what's the best way to go about it, best practices, all that good stuff. So I'm really excited to have him on next time as an honorary Dugan. And so it'll be he and I, because Liv chickened out.
Babe, you set it up for Tuesday. I go to work on Tuesday. You're going to be recording when I'm at work, so stop
true.
It.
That's true.
Hey, you know what else happens in February?
Valentine's Day?
Besides?
My dad has a birthday.
And?
I kind of share a birthday with him.
Jerry Samuel Dugan's going to turn 40.
I know.
You're at the top of the hill. You're going to go downhill.
No. Assuming I live until I'm 100, because healthcare is getting better and better these days, I still have 10 more years to go before I hit the top of that hill, right?
I don't know. Maybe you should go for a walk with your son instead of playing video games, and then you might live to see 100.
But he needs me to prestige his account.
I think you make it worse.
I probably do, yeah, because I did horribly while he was gone.
But nobody was here to hear you yell at the game, right?
That is true. So that was the best time to play, because then there were no witnesses to whether or not I yelled.
Did you?
I plead the fifth.
If a tree in the forest falls down, is that what the...
Does it still make a noise?
Yeah. If Jerry is in the house playing games by himself.
Does he still cuss?
Look at me.
The world will never know.
I think you do.
Actual
family living.
When do we get to the Q&A portion of this show? Oh, gosh. So, let's see here. I want to talk about what we've been up to as a family, but gosh, what's the last thing we shared? We haven't talked about much. Since the last episode.
What?
I'm just thinking about the rationale of what I just said. We haven't said anything since the last episode. Well, like, yeah, duh. I mean, because the last time we heard from you was the last episode, Jerry.
But so, we talked as a family.
Yeah. Let's see. So Emma had the auditions for Swan Lake,
mm-hmm.
But we don't know the results of that yet. Is that right?
No, but my friend Susan walked uh-huh. into Miss Jane's costume room. She's the costume mistress.
Oh, okay.
And Miss Jane was in there with Miss Monroe. And they had the cast list that they were working on.
Oh.
Miss Monroe was talking to Miss Jane about the groups of girls. And Susan saw the cast list. She saw Emma's name at the top along with Chloe. But she did not see their group.
Oh, so she saw that names were together,
yes.
But not what was the
yes.
part that goes
All
with the names.
All she said was, I saw Emma's name and I saw Chloe's name. It was with the group of girls. I was like, thank you, Susan. Thank you for telling me that.
That's helpful.
Yeah. But Miss Monroe said the cast list should be posted tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that it'll be posted tomorrow.
So a lot less anxiety or angst compared to the Nutcracker.
Yeah. And we're pretty sure that all the company girls are going to be swans.
Okay.
And all of the other, like, apprentice on down to mm-hmm. the nine-year-olds are going to be villagers.
Okay.
And they, you know... She saw Emma's name. That was the list that they were looking at. And they had all the villager dresses pulled out.
Okay.
So
very, very possibly.
Yeah.
What about like ducklings? Do they have ducklings in the you know, the Ugly Duckling, the King Swan. I don't think so. Am I getting my stories mixed up again?
I think so. Yeah, I think she's, I heard, I've never really watched it, just a few parts, but I just heard that there's swans and, okay. And villagers.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I will find out.
Wow, I should probably read up on this a little bit more so I know what I'm getting into as far as an audience member. And
I'll be able to tell you as I watch rehearsals.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Great. And then Jacob's got baseball tryouts starting up
Saturday.
Saturday, this Saturday.
Less than a week.
Just a few days after this episode airs, it'll be baseball season for Jacob.
And I finally sold all his barbecue tickets. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was stressing me out because I didn't think that I was going to find 20 people. But thanks to my mom and thanks to some awesome friends, they bought all of our tickets. I'm super happy.
Yeah, it's really interesting for us to be on this side of the fundraisers and the tickets and everything, because you know, like in the office, you always have somebody who's got to sell something for their child who's in some activity. And I thought, gosh, you know, they're always fundraising. And now here we are being asked to sell tickets. And it's like, well, who do we go to? I mean, we got our family.
Fortunately, I bug everybody enough with Nutcracker.
Yeah. So it's just automatic. Like, put us on the list. It's almost like we have people who subscribe to just buy stuff off of Olivia.
Nutcracker tickets. I do have a few subscribers to Nutcracker tickets. They've gone on. I have one that's gone every year.
Okay.
One friend. Yep.
Oh, and they bought their tickets through you every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
I see what you're saying.
And then I have another friend that's bought every year except for one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So, we got a lot going on in the next few weeks, which is part of why Dr. Jeff Temple's coming on. I'm going to call him Dr. Jeff or Dr. Jeff Temple. Anyway, that's why he's coming on in the next episode. And then we also pre-recorded with the Solbergs from Family Life Ministries. So they're going to be talking about healthy marriages on the week of Valentine's Day. So in any case, we're going to be bringing in some more honorary Dugans just because we're going to be so spread thin. We're basically going to kind of record our sessions like we watch Netflix. We're going to binge watch Netflix. Actually, we binge watch Netflix, and then the same way, we're going to binge record our show. So we'll record a bunch in like a day or two, and then we just spread them out over the next month. And in some of those cases, the family members are going to have to be honorary Dugans just so we can, have a show continue on an almost weekly basis. I hope you're okay with me inviting all these folks into our home via Skype.
I don't care.
I'll make sure I make the bed before I make the calls, right?
Yeah. Great. That's why I agreed to do this tonight, even though it's 9:21. Shoot.
Yeah.
Because you said, you were set up and, Emmy still has to do some homework. And you said, well, we can wait to Tuesday. And I was like, nope. It's not going to happen. We need to do it now.
I was so close to having Jacob come onto the show. It was this close.
I think he's scared right now of what you're going to ask him since he just, went through that breakup and stuff. So
I know. Yeah. I kind of gave him a heads up. I wasn't going to bring that up. We were going to talk about, it was something else. The show he was binge watching lately. Friday Night Tykes and his impression of the show. So he knew I was going to talk more about that than anything else. So I think that's why he was willing to come on. But in the end, his friend called him and they wound up talking for a couple hours. So
that's okay. He needs that too.
He needs that. So, all right. Well, that breakup was interesting. I don't know if we want to dive into it or not.
Probably not right now.
Okay. Yeah. Too soon.
I do have one cheater question for you right now.
Right now? Yeah. Before we even get into the Q&A session?
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Did you hear Emma's little knock on the door?
I heard it.
How adorable do you think she is?
She is so cute.
We're here using the computer in our bedroom and she needs the computer to type up a little essay, and I told her when she was done writing down her points to knock on the door, and her little knock is so cute.
A little knock. Yes.
But she doesn't look little. I was looking at her when I was eating tonight at my mom's, and she just looks grown up.
She's looking like a preteen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? She's not even a preteen for much longer.
She's my baby girl, though.
She always will be.
Still has that little voice, so... Yeah. But then when we see pictures of her when she was little, it's like, wow, Emma is not that little girl anymore.
No.
That's sad. Like the one you posted on Facebook a few weeks ago where she was in the grocery parking lot
holding her ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looked grown up there.
And you put the picture of her from like when she was two right next to it. And just huge difference. And to me, they're the same girl, like same size and everything until I see them, the picture side by side. And I'm like, oh, no.
Maybe you should put that up.
Oh, in the show notes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So we'll do a little tribute to baby Emma in this episode. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that in the show notes. So that's therealjerrydugan.com/079. And I really hope this is episode 79 because that's what I've been saying the whole episode.
Do we need to number them?
Kind of. It just helps me catalog them. And then when I do the show notes, mm-hmm. I could do the pretty link. So they don't have to type in the whole URL. Mm. They just type in therealjerrydugan.com/whatever that episode is. So it makes it easy for them too. I think it's 79. I think the last one was number 78.
You should just make up random numbers. Like, this is episode number 157.
0.22.
Right? You could reference it.
Yeah, I really could number them any way I want. I guess logically people expect them to be in order. Uh-huh. We can go back and have two episode ones.
Go for it.
Yeah. No, okay. We won't do that. Okay. So I guess we're ready to transition into the Q&A section of the show.
Sure.
Okay, so this is the part of the show where we've each prepared a question for the other person, and so we have no idea what's going to be asked to us, and the responses you're going to hear are going to be our unscripted, unedited responses to the questions that are being asked. So, with that said, ladies first, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Go for it.
I got the yawns. I always get the yawns when you and I record.
I know.
You know what?
This show's just so darn exciting for
me. No, I yawn when I talk a lot, and I yawn when I read books to my class. Oh. All the time. I don't know if it's just the air that I'm putting out, but something in that triggers the yawns in me.
Oh.
Because every single time I read to them, I yawn and Miss Jeannie laughs at me.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because the whole function of yawning is to get more oxygen into our lungs and into our bodies. Mm-hmm. So there's something about when I'm getting you to talk a lot or when you're reading a book. Mm-hmm. You know, your body is wanting more oxygen. I hope that isn't like a sign of something bad that we should have checked out. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait, the physiology behind that.
It's been for years. It's like as long as I worked at Rainbow Express. Oh, wow. So anyway.
You've been smoking behind my back?
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Are you ready?
My name's Olivia. Go for it.
Okay, Jerry. What is the most draining aspect of being a parent to you?
Wow. The most draining aspect of being a parent? It's being so darn good at it.
Right.
Okay. gosh, I know it's got to be definitely draining for you because, I mean, you're the one who is making sure they get to school, that, you know, you keep up on what they're doing in school and you're picking them up from school. You're getting Emma to almost every single dance lesson. So as far as the runaround, the hands-on part of parenting, you make it easy for me. So I definitely can't claim that part. I would say the thing that is most draining is keeping up with them, what their interests are, who their friends are. And then in the case like Jacob recently, when they're going through a time where their friends seem to have turned on them, you know, that gets real draining. And, you know, the hard part is holding back just enough so that they can work through it themselves. Because I just want to dive in and
save the day. Me
too.
I want to jump on all of that. And look, this is not fair. It is not fair. And, you know, when something like that happens, Jacob is my 2-year-old toddler mm-hmm. fighting on the playground. And it makes me want to fight for him.
Yeah. And I know I reached out to one of them not because I wanted them to stop picking on Jacob so much. I really wanted them to, you know, I was reaching out as a friend. Like, hey, you know, we respect you. You're a friend of the family. And what you're doing right now, I really don't like, especially since you're such an advocate for not being a bully towards others. And here you are doing it to somebody that I really care about. And in somebody who I care about as a friend is the one doing it. So, you know, let's call that out. And so we had a good conversation, but, you know, the next day they went right back to it. And so it was draining to be able to sit back and just ask Jacob, so how do you feel about it? Is there anything you want to do? Is there anything you need from us? And just respecting what he wants to do, respecting the approach he wants to take.
Yeah.
You know, that is hard. At the same time, though, I'm grateful that he is having the conversation with us to some degree.
Yeah, he's kind of hard getting him to talk, but I think I've gotten a lot of pretty good genuine moments with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you definitely have. Mm-hmm. So Probably
because I don't sit there and try to T-Rex hug him the whole time.
Yeah, I guess that does kind of kill the mood for him. Like, he's worried, is Dad going to jump out and T-Rex hug me or forklift hug me or... is he going to whip out a microphone and start recording this talk that we're having right now?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I've done that yet, but some of the conversations inspire podcast questions. Not for us to showcase every single thing we do in our lives, but you know, we've been finding out that, you know, things that we struggle with, other folks are going through as well. And hearing us struggle with it is enough to encourage, you know, other folks to keep doing what they're doing or to take a different approach. So in any case, that's kind of been the most draining thing for me in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then around baseball, you know, I've been kicking myself, you know, wondering if, you know, we'd somehow not been giving him the best opportunity in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But then his coach actually said something the other night during the parent meeting that, you know, how well your son does or does not do on this baseball team is in no way a reflection of you as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
How you act as a parent is a measure of how you are as a parent. But your child's ability to play baseball or not to play, be able to play baseball has nothing to do with you as a parent. So keep that in mind. It is a game, and some people are just talented more than others. Some people hustle more than others. And so don't think you're failing your child. And I thought, you know, I'm glad to hear him say that because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of his teammates during the fall season got onto these tournament teams and these fall season teams. And I just couldn't connect with any dads who were putting these teams together to get Jacob onto that team
mm-hmm.
or a team. And so he was one of the few players who didn't play during the fall. And I just thought, gosh, you know, if I was just a bit more social and connected with more dads and, you know, got them to like me, you know, maybe they would let Jacob play. And, you know, like, you know, man, I just feel left out. And then I, you know, kind of in all this, you know, with Jacob, you know, recent events with his friends, we kind of realized he doesn't go out of his way to make friends on the team.
Yeah.
So how is he not making the team during the fall? It's because nobody knows who he is, you know, except like three or four people. And so, you know, he's also got to come out of his own shell and connect with people. So all that said, I guess as a parent, the most draining thing is worrying about him. And then at the same time, having the strength to let go so he could grow into his own.
Mm-hmm.
How would you have answered that if I had asked you that?
For me, the most draining part is, I think, being encouraging when I'm tired too. Uh-huh. Like at the end of the day, I'm so excited to see both of them. I miss them a lot. Even though they've been in school for years, I miss them towards the end of their school day. And so when I see them, I'm like, oh, I get to get Jacob and Emma from school. It's going to be so wonderful. I miss him so much. And then Emma gets in the truck and she's grumpy.
And that's it. You're done.
Yeah. And then Jacob gets in the truck and he's grumpy. And so I'm like, man, all that for nothing? I mean, they're both angry at me. They're both grumpy. You know, we still have a long night ahead of us with not that many hours. But then I think just like all the nighttime activities, you know, by the time we get home from dance with Emma, it's hard to get her to sit down and concentrate on her homework.
Yeah, it is.
It is hard. And she, I don't know why she's so distracted. And it's going to be hard with Jacob too, because he's going to hopefully be starting baseball practice. And, you know, he falls asleep easily enough as it is, and mm-hmm. and now he's gonna be even quicker to sleep.
Well, if you look at what they're doing all day, I mean, they're sitting in a classroom most of the day. They're both athletic in different ways. So Jacob's, you know, working out during the school day in his baseball class, and he's got practice, and so he comes home physically tired, mentally tired, and then what does he have to do? He has to do homework.
I know, homework is evil. I don't know why they have so much homework, because Emma keeps saying, don't they know about our social lives? And I mean, it's not really even a social life. They're just both busy with activities.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And just, and I think
how much we try to cram into a school day. I mean, you know, the mind needs time to process that information.
Yeah.
And the only way they can get that in is to force it on you as homework.
Another thing that I feel pretty drained about is just like the events of the past week,
mm-hmm.
week and a half. It's going through a teenage breakup, I think, might be harder than going through my own, like going through my teenager's breakup might be harder than going through my own teenage breakup.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to make him happy. We're trying to make the girl happy. We're trying to make her family happy and everybody else involved. And it's just, it's been a roller coaster this past week and a half, I guess. You know, sometimes I feel real, you know, happy, and sometimes I feel sad just because, you know, the different things that are going on. I know Jacob feels happy, and I know he feels sad too.
Yeah.
He was kind of in a funk this past week.
Oh yeah, the whole week. You know, it's almost like a mini divorce. I mean, I remember feeling this way when my parents divorced, you know, just, you know, except now we're in the parent side of it. And so like, I caught myself thinking things like, well, does this mean we can't be friends with her family anymore? Does this mean we can't be friendly to her? Do we have to take sides? Wait, no, we don't have to take sides. And, you know, and he was the one who initiated the breakup, and all for the right, you know, I have to say the right reasons, because it was based off of advice I gave him, which was, the moment you know you're not going to spend the rest of your life with her, you need to break it off. You need to call it for what it is and not drag on this emotional roller coaster. Because I mean, you know, the longer a relationship goes, the deeper it gets. And mm-hmm. I mean, you're making an emotional investment. You know, initially it's all just fun and the feeling of falling in love, but you know, at 8 months, you got some emotional investment made, and it's not just between the two of them. We found out, I mean, you know, her mom is connected. I mean, we're connected and invested. I mean, we were just like, wait, we just celebrated New Year's with you guys as a couple. And now just less than 2 weeks later, that is no more. And you know, what about my birthday? What about Valentine's Day? Don't you have like favorites dance? Don't you have a shindig you're supposed to go to? And you know, what about next Christmas? And so, and then, you know, the friends, I mean, they shared the same group of friends. And you know, that, I think that's been the most draining part though, is how they responded. They took sides. They drew a line in the sand and chose a side.
It's understandable. But I, you know, because they were her friends first.
Yeah.
But I think the actions after that is not, that's what I have trouble with.
Yeah.
That's not understandable because he did do the right thing.
He did.
You know, he's listened and he did say some things to the friends that he shouldn't have, but he apologized and he asked for forgiveness and that still hasn't been answered. It hasn't been even really acknowledged.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. But anyway, they're kids. Right. Yeah. They're all learning how to deal with these relationships and
this too shall pass.
Yeah.
I had shared with Jacob that, you know, my senior year, you know, there was the girl I had the crush on and we had gone on a couple of dates and I thought that we were becoming a couple. And so just when you heard me talk about this girl, it was like, we're a couple. We're becoming a couple. This is great. And my, you know, we shared the same group of friends and it turns out she didn't feel the same way. And her and just a core group of girls in that group, within our group of friends, really took a turn. I mean, they did a 180 on me. They started this whole, like, we can't stand him campaign. And I never knew exactly what was wrong. I just knew something was not right, but I couldn't put a finger on it. And then one day, you know, I finally asked about that and found out, oh, she didn't like the idea that I thought we were becoming a couple and she would just like me to crawl under a rock and disappear or die or something. In any case, you know, the similarity was that some close friends of mine after a couple of years had basically gone mean girls on me. And, you know, looking back, you know, the only thing I really lost in all that was my respect for them. And, you know, I shared that with Jacob and I was just like, you know, it'll pass. And, you know, hopefully they come around and, you know, they seek forgiveness from you for how they've been treating you. However, you know, if they never do, you know, move on with your life and, you know, it's going to be their loss in the end. I mean, you did everything for the right reasons. You even reached out and asked for forgiveness, even after you snapped and, you know, put your foot down and kind of stood your ground. You apologized for that too. And so I'm just really proud of how he's been handling it.
Yeah.
All right. So you ready for my question to you?
Sure.
All right. So I got mine from this book that we got at the Family Life Weekend to Remember this past year. The coffee dates for couples. And we actually tried to give this away a few months back and nobody responded to the request. So I'm like, all right, I'll keep it. So my question comes from that. I forget what page, but it was actually a suggestion and then I turned it into a question. So let's say you're taking me out on a date. You've only got $10 to spend. What would be the most romantic date you could pull off for the two of us for just $10?
That's super easy, Jerry. We've done it.
Well, tell us.
Okay. I would take you to Boatnet.
Yeah.
Did you know I was going to say that?
Food dinner.
Did you know that I was going to say that?
I knew the moment you said, oh, that's easy. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, yeah, she's going to take me to Boatnet.
Okay. Boatnet for the non-locals is like
the Corpus Christi Red Lobster.
There you go. The Corpus Christi Red Lobster. It is super cheap, pretty good. Ghetto. When you go up to the drive-thru, it's a PVC pipe and they have a little like a doorbell that you push and it buzzes them to let you know. And you hear like a little tinny voice come through the pipe.
It actually comes out pretty clear.
Yeah. But I can hear you can hear it travel. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's Boatnet. It's cheap. And we did this couple years ago when we were really tight on our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a night. Jerry and I were alone because the kids were elsewhere. And we picked up Boatnet. We went downtown and downtown Corpus is beautiful. We have the Corpus Christi Bay and the Gulf of Mexico to look out. And so we just went down there, plopped on a picnic table and ate dinner.
Yeah, we did. And then You actually indulged me and we went
geocaching and found nothing.
Found nothing.
Man, but we tried.
Yes.
But that was one of my most favorite dates that we've had in a while.
I need to up my game because that's like the most memorable date you've had in the past couple of years. So.
I know, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and we've gone on other dates, guys. So yeah. Don't think like we went out that one time and that was it. We've gone on walking dates. We've done quite a few walking dates, mm-hmm. and then we've gone on dinner dates. We've gone on lunch dates. So, I mean, we spend time together, but I do love that one because we were tight on money and it was impromptu and we got a meal and we went out and had a picnic mm-hmm. Out on the water.
We went on a walk. Yeah. We did some geocaching. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, and I wanted to ask you that because, you know.
Oreo. Can you hear Oreo?
I can. They won't be able to hear him on the recording, uh-huh. it turns out, because of our mics. But, yeah, Oreo's outside our door right now whining to come in. Silly dog wants to watch us live.
He does.
In any case, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I know some of our listeners are probably tight on money. Maybe, you know, they've always been tight on money, or they've gone through a recent job loss. I would just recommend that you take the time to still date your spouse because, one, it's cheaper than divorce. And two, you know, if you're committed to living together as a couple for, you know, the rest of your lives, you don't want to be married to a stranger. You want to be married to somebody who you know deeply and intimately. And as we just shared here, one of Liv's most memorable dates was one where we didn't go lavish on it. I mean, we got our Corpus Christi Red Lobster, our seafood dinner, and we had
Thanks for correcting that for me, by the way. You knew what I was about to say.
I knew exactly what you were about to say. And the folks listening from Corpus Christi would be like, no, that's not what we call it. So yeah, you got the censored Jerry's diplomatic version of the title. Or the nickname. gosh, well, cool. Gosh, and maybe we should do another $10 date night with Boatnet.
I think so. I wanted to get Boatnet a week ago when I took you lunch.
Oh, yeah.
But since you hadn't answered, I wasn't sure if you really wanted it or not. So we just got Whataburger. Boring.
We are the hometown of Whataburger.
I know. That's another Corpus Christi origination.
Yeah, that moved to San Antonio.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Wah, wah. Well, that's all we've got for... well, is there anything you want to say before I do the sign-off?
No, I'm good.
Great. Well, that's all we have for this episode of Family Time Q&A Podcast. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. And if you did, share us with your family, your friends, and say, hey, check these guys out. They're kind of funny. They're deep. They're real. And here's some ideas for you guys for Valentine's Day. And if you're going through a situation where your teenager has broken up with somebody and you're dealing with the fallout from that. Let's see here. So you'll find the show notes on therealjerrydugan.com/079. If it turns out this was not episode 79, I'll put a link in the episode for episode 79 or the show notes for 79 and it'll get you to the correct one. But for now, let's just assume this is episode 79. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes as well as Stitcher. So just go to those apps. Stitcher, for those who don't know, it's on Android. And then iTunes is where you'll find the podcast on Apple devices. And if you don't know that, then just shoot us an email at jerrysdugan@gmail.com and I'll send you some instructions and talk you through it. Okay, Mom? Actually, I tried to fix that for her while we were visiting back in November, but she's done something to her phone and I didn't know how to fix it because I'm an Android user. I know. Sorry. And don't hold us that against us that we're Android users. We love you and we don't judge you for using Apple products.
Jerry.
I don't know where I'm going with that. All right. Well, thank you. And we'll catch you on the next episode with Dr. Jeff Temple.
Bye-bye.